Good morning. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Let's take the Yellow Book Songs to Remember. Let's turn to number 7, Blessed Assurance. Let's turn to number 11, just a few pages over. Number 11, It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Fabian. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for the good playing today. Thank everyone for the good singing this morning. Good to see each and every one out today. We're still in the midst of vacation period, and we've still got some people that are out today, but we're glad to see each and every one of you here today. Good to see a strange face. Good to have Brother Sean back with us today. He's been in school now for a while, and we're glad that he's back with us today. And I'm just thankful that the Lord's taking good care of him down there in Florida. I know that area fairly well, and I know the pitfalls of sometimes being in that area. And so I'm thankful he's able to be back with us today, and he talks like he's doing good in school. I'm glad of that. The others back here, I get to see them all the time, and I'm glad y'all doing good in school too. So don't think about you in that way. But I am glad to see each and every one of you here today, and we appreciate each and every one coming out for our service today. Our Sunday school lesson today was about the fact of seeing the Lord come back. And Brother Stewart asked the question at the start of the lesson as to what are some of the signs that we have as far as when the Lord is coming back. And I thought, all right, let's see who was listening last Sunday. Truthfully, I had forgotten what I had preached on last Sunday until he mentioned that. But I did. I thought, well, let's see who remembers what I preached on last Sunday. And I got a good blessing out of that. They didn't refer to me, and that's all right, but they talked about some of the signs that we mentioned last Sunday. And the main thing that Brother Stewart brought out at the very last, and this is always one of the good points in that, is that we ought to be looking forward to the Lord coming back. Now, he brought out there also that we have a tendency to basically have in our minds, well, Lord, I know we've got several people that are not saved, and I would be so sad for them if they couldn't come to go to heaven with me. And then the thought is, well, we're to be looking for his coming. So we ought to be working. We ought to be striving to see those individuals to meet the Lord is what it's all about. And back several months ago, I heard a man say, I'll take that back. In one of my studies, I found where historically our old churches preached about the second coming of the Lord on a regular basis. And they thought that that was needful, that it needed to be preached unto people, that they ought to be looking for the Lord's coming. You know, I always go back to the last chapter of Revelation, and it's one of the last verses in the book of Revelation. And what John said there was, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." Now, he knew the joy that it was going to be to see the Lord coming back. But I think he also understood the longer it went, there's going to be much more trouble for all of those that are unsaved, that there'll be many more. Do you realize that in the last minute, there's been at least two people died? And more than likely, those two individuals died and went into a devil's hell. And you say, now, you don't know that. I agree, I don't know that. But by the percentages, and according to what Jesus said, it says, "Many there be on the broad road which leadeth to destruction." But it says, few that are on the straight and narrow road. So by his terminology, more than likely those two people that died have already gone into the devil's hell. So we need to be working, is what we need to be doing. Well, I'll get off my podium right now. We'll go ahead into our children's church at this time. Kids, if you'll come up, we'll be looking forward to seeing you this morning. Come on, kids. We'll come right over here again. it's good to see y'all. We don't have as many. Well, I guess I'll scoot over here if y'all going over that way so much. I'll scoot over this way. And y'all are far. Good. Good to see all of you today. How are y'all doing? Did you have a good week? Cohen had a pretty good day yesterday. He had a birthday party. Wow, did. Yeah. He got several gifts. He got cupcakes. And I don't think he ate many of them, but he got them. Okay, I got a Bible story for you. Out of the Bible, there was a feller by the name of Nehemiah. Can you say his name? Nehemiah was his name. Nehemiah was a young feller when that his country of Judah and Jerusalem was overcome by King Nebuchadnezzar. And they were all carried off into captivity back to where King Nebuchadnezzar had his capital city, which was a place called Babylon. Now, Nehemiah had been there for several years. Matter of fact, that Nebuchadnezzar had died, and his grandson had lost the kingdom to another kingdom by the name of the Persians. And when that they got to the Persian king was there, Nehemiah was set up to be one of his servants. And he took care of the king's cup, is what it called it. In other words, he was the guy that came, and because he was the king, he had people that waited on him. And so Nehemiah would bring him his cup to where he could drink whatever he was drinking, whether it was a water or grape juice or something like that. That's what he brought to them. In that day. Well, he had met a friend that had been back into Jerusalem. And he said, how is things back in Jerusalem? And the friend didn't have a good report. He said, the walls are broken down. The people are in danger. The people around them, the other countries, are coming in and stealing from them and doing them all kinds of harm. Well, that broke Nehemiah's heart that his homeland was in such a terrible shape. So that day when he got ready to go in before the king, he was really, really sad. And he couldn't even smile before the king. And the king said, Nehemiah, what's the problem? You're usually happy. You're usually glad to be serving me. But you've got a deep sorrow. I can see it. Well, Nehemiah told him about the problem that was there. And Nehemiah told him, he says, I've been praying for this, that somebody would go back to Jerusalem and that they would build up the walls where my people could be safe. Well, the king said, Nehemiah, what do you got on your mind? He said, O king, I prayed that the Lord would make it where I could go back, that I could build up the walls for the people. And the king, by the grace of God, you know, I want you to understand this. God worked on that old king's heart to where that he would say, what do you need? Well, he said, I need paper saying that I can build them. He said, they're yours. He said that I can have timbers and rocks and such, that we can come together and build up the walls. He says, just you tell me how much, we'll get it done. So when that day was over, you see, when Nehemiah prayed to God about the walls, his house, his place, he said to him, God said, I'll make a way. And God made a way. What I want you to get out of this story is, whenever you have times that maybe you see things around you that are not well, you pray about it, okay? You ask the Lord for help. And if it's something that you want to do, if it's something that's God's will, He'll make it happen for you, even if you think that it's no way possible. But God will make a way. All right, that's all my story today. Remember Nehemiah, though. Good to see y'all today. It's good to see each and every one of you again today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning before we go any further? I do want to pass along about Brother Slick. He got some somewhat good news earlier in the week about his not being able to walk, but then today we've understood that he's had a little bit more of a setback. So let's do remember Brother Slick and Miss Barbara. The other thing is that I will mention is Brother Sonny Knapp. Do remember him in your prayers. You know he's been sick for a good while now. According to what I found out Friday from Sister Linda, they have not yet accepted it, but they are wanting to put Brother Sonny on hospice, and it's not the kind as far as saying that he's fixing to die real soon, but it is for the services type. So this is something because of his Alzheimer's that he has, that I'm going to say it's getting a pretty severe time. So let's do remember Brother Sonny and Sister Linda in these circumstances, that Sister Linda will be able to do the things. She said, she's told me different times over the last year. She says, I don't know anything about this Alzheimer's or dementia. She says, I'm just having to learn as I go. So y'all pray for her that she'll be able to handle these things. Some of you have had dealt with this problem, and it's not an easy sickness to witness. So y'all do remember them in your prayers. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? I ask each and every one to please pray today. Ask the Lord to be in our midst, and I hope you'll pray that the Lord will help me today in this service, that I might preach what the Lord would have me to preach, if that's the Lord's will that I preach. So we'll ask you to be prayerful for us today, and we'll ask you to do, please keep that in mind. Keep these other prayer requests that were mentioned earlier in the day also upon your heart today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but everybody pray in your own way, please. Brother Stewart, if you would, lead us in prayer.
For our last congregational song, let's do number 193.
thankful for each and every one being here today. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart? I'm going to go ahead and mention this again. There is flyers out there on the table. They're about the Virginia Baptist History Tour that will be coming up in October. And Paula and I are planning on going. I've heard a couple of others say that they were wanting to try to go to this. It is about our heritage as far as churches are concerned. Basically, our churches came through Virginia. Many of our people came out of Virginia down into Tennessee and Kentucky. And our lineage basically goes through this area. And you'll be able to see a lot of old churches. Know the year that we went, we saw buildings that were there long before the Civil War. And some of them were even destroyed and rebuilt is what they were. But it is a good thing to do is to learn where you came from. The best thing that people say is good for us to know our history as far as a country. And this being Memorial Day, it's a good day for us to remember those that have given their lives for us as far as our freedom in this country. And I'm talking about they gave their lives in battle. Well, there's many of our forefathers, as far as our Baptist people are concerned, that have given their lives also for this cause. And it is a good tour to take, and it'll humble you as far as making you realize what our people went through just to get to where we have a church here in Murfreesboro. I'll give you an excerpt. Just, I'm not reading this. This is out of my memory, but I've quoted this different times out of Benedict's history. And David Benedict wrote this book in 1819. And he had went through Tennessee to explore to see where the Baptist churches were in Middle Tennessee. And his words were, it was truly a savage land, one in which that savages were, you were in danger of savages, of wild beasts, and of robbers and such as that. And that's what our forefathers went through just to come here, that we might have the preaching of the gospel and truth. And that was in 1819, and many of our churches may have started even before that, is what they may have done. So let's be prayerful about that. If this is something you're interested in, pick up one of the flyers and start getting a little bit of information and maybe making plans to go in October to that. With that being said, we've got a busy month coming up here, a couple of months. Do-Re-Mi will be starting here in a couple of weeks. 1st of July, we'll have our Vacation Bible School. And then 2 weeks later, we will have our revival. All of these needs our prayers. We need to be praying for them. I believe that I've saw people get saved during Do-Re-Mi. The school that teaches about singing out of our hymn books. I've seen people get saved there. I've seen people get saved during vacation Bible schools. And I've definitely seen people get saved during our revival. And that is our heart's desire for all of this as much as anything, is that people might be saved. But I hope and pray that revival will start in our church members. That's where revival will start. Not with the sinners, but in us. That we'll seek the Lord and in a way that we'll want to follow Him in a great way and do whatever He would have us to do. So with that being said, anybody have anything on your heart before we go any further? We're going to take our reading lesson today out of the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. The fourth chapter of the book of Acts is where we're going to take our reading lesson. I don't think I read this back a few months ago. I know we're going a different route, but this story actually starts in the third chapter. In the third chapter, Peter and John, they are going into the temple at the time of worship. There is a man there that has been lame from his mother's womb, is what the Bible calls it. And the Bible says that Peter and John heal that man. Well, this started some things, basically, is what I'm going to call it. First of all, that man started jumping and praising the Lord. A lot of people says that you're supposed to go to church, sit, be quiet, and do that. This man jumped and praised the Lord after he was healed. I believe he probably got saved at the very same moment. He may have been saved before that, I don't know. But either way, he was jumping and praising the Lord. That got people's attention. And when that got their attention, the Bible says that people started gathering around, and Peter, full of the Holy Ghost is what it says, started preaching to them. And I don't know if this was the entire sermon or not, but it goes from verse 12 down through verse, probably down through verse 25 is probably where it goes through. And I'm not reading that sermon today, but the Bible says that in the next chapter, that the Sadducees and the captains of the temple were displeased. Even the priests themselves were displeased with this because that they had preached the resurrection. We preached on that a few months ago about the resurrection of Christ and how that the Lord came back from the dead. Now, there was a reason why the Sadducees were a little bit put out, because they were preaching the resurrection of Christ. They did not believe in a resurrection. They believed once a person died, that was it. No more hope for anybody in that. But that's not what the Scriptures taught. The Pharisees did believe in a resurrection. Well, these Sadducees brought Peter and John before the priest that day because of their displeasure. And it says that there was 5,000 there that believed, is what it says there in the fourth verse. Now, when they bring them in before the priest, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and all of them are in there, it says, and we'll start a reading lesson with verse 7. And it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power and by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole.'" In other words, how that man was now leaping and praising God. He said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." In other words, it is by Jesus Christ that this man is standing here whole. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." Notice he said, "of you builders" there. He said, "which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Verse 13, Now, when they saw that, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now that's reading verses 7 through 13 for our reading lesson today. Now our main thought today is going to come out of that 13th verse. And basically I'm going to ask you a question today. If somebody met you today and they listened to you talk for a little while, could they tell that you had been with Jesus? Good question, isn't it? I hope and pray that you would have that kind of understanding and a desire to let people know that you are a child of God, that you are familiar with Jesus himself, that you have spent some time with him. I related, and I'm going to repeat this for your benefit, that it came out of Sunday school this morning, and the thought was, and Brother Stewart had brought up knowing the Lord, and the thought came to me, I remembered the very first time that I met Brother Stewart. He was a member down at Gateway Missionary Baptist Church, and I had went there to preach. And when I got there, we had heard that there was somebody that was going to take a busload of kids down to Palm Tree for their revival, and that they were there. So I met Brother Stewart there that day. That was going to be his responsibility. He was carrying a van load, probably, I guess, 10, 12 kids was what he was carrying down to Florida for that. I said, I met him. I had never saw him before that day. But after that, I knew who Stuart Spicer was. Now, after we had went down about a month or so later from that time, and we had spent time in church, we spent time during that week talking and just being together during that week, there became a great love between us. Even so much so, I related this, that after that I had moved to Florida and my father had died and I was getting off the airplane, the first one I saw was Brother Stewart. Now you might say, well, why was he there? You see, we had developed a strong friendship. We had developed a strong love. He wasn't there to pick me up, but he was there to extend his condolences on the loss of my father. He had a love for me like that, didn't he? You see, being a child of God is meaning that we have, first of all, a love for one another. There is not only a love for one another in the church, but there is a great love for everybody else, isn't there? Or there should be. I'll say it that way. There should be a love in every one of us that is saved enough that we could show and talk about how much we love the Lord. We could even have a relationship with him in such a way that we would be able to show it to the world. You know, there's a lot of people that will talk today about, we'll say, football, basketball, or something like that. And they have a good knowledge of that. When I was a teenager, I could tell you just about everybody that played in the NFL. I had a knowledge of football. I had a knowledge of who was playing who, what, where, and when. I had that kind of knowledge because I spent time in that relationship of knowing it during that time. Now, I know a few of them, but that's about it. I don't spend that kind of time with him. But what do we spend time with as far as a relationship with the Lord? The Bible said that the disciples themselves spent time with the Lord. Brother Stewart brought it out this morning in our Sunday school lesson. They had been at times where they had slept in the same area, in the camp. They had eaten with him. They had talked with him. They had had conversations with him. They came to know his doctrine and his understanding of the things that God wanted them to have, that kind of understanding. That was what these people here in that day, they had called them up to be witnessing about what they were doing. They did not like what they were preaching in that day. The world today really and truly doesn't like this type of preaching about people praying through to the Lord. They like to help individuals get saved. They like to get a Bible out, say, do you believe this scripture? Is that enough? If you believe that, that's enough for you to be saved. If you've called on the name of the Lord, they'll say, that's enough. Well, I'm going to tell you, I called on the Lord many times before that I ever got saved. But the world today is not really and truly wanting to know who the Lord is. There is a reason behind that, and that is Satan himself is influencing the world to do more with worldly things than with the things of God. Now, here we find in this day, the great miracle had been done. You might say, well, we don't see the great miracles of that day. I'm going to tell you something. There is miracles going on all the time. We may not be seeing a man that has been lame from his mother's womb getting up and walking, but I'm going to tell you, when Sarah got saved, that was a miracle. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, that was a miracle that day. It was a miracle for me, to be honest with you, because I was shy and bashful and ashamed in many ways. For me to turn around and say, I want to join the church, that was a miracle as far as I was concerned, because I was afraid in those days. But the Lord had helped me in that way. Now, when you look at what happened on that day, when Peter and John started speaking to these men, there was something that was involved in that. It said, Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, that is a great big portion of you having a relationship with the Lord himself. Do you have a desire to feel the Spirit of God once you've been saved? Once you've been saved, you ought to have a great big desire to have that leadership of the Lord. I want you to see just a little bit of scripture here coming out of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and just one single verse. And what Paul said to them in verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, in the world's mind of that day, John and Peter, there among them people, they said they were unlearned people. They were probably in their minds foolish at that time. Now, the idea that I want you to understand, they had a lot of knowledge and they had a lot of wisdom, but as far as what these priests and them, the others that were there, they were not educated as the priests were. They didn't have the understanding of the scriptures that the scribes did as far as having the reading all of that. But they had something greater than what the priest did, than the other people, the elders that were there. They had something much better than that. They had that Holy Ghost power of God leading them. Do you have that Holy Ghost power leading you as a child of God today? Are you paying attention to it? Is the other thing that I want you to answer me about on this today. Not verbally, but I want you to answer yourself today. Do you have a desire to feel the Holy Ghost within you, leading you as you're studying, as you're learning, and as you're trying to work for the Lord Himself? They said these men are not learned. They have no knowledge of our ways. Well, they had the knowledge that they had been taught as young men. They had been taught the ways of the law. They'd been taught all of these things. But there was something different about these men, and that was that they had spent time with the Lord. How much time are you spending with the Lord? Now, you think back to this past week, and I'll just say it in this way here today. How much time did you spend this week in one of these books? Think about it now. Did you spend, we'll say, I'll give you an hour a day, 7 hours this week, learning and reading about the Lord? Well, preacher, I'm busy. I understand that. Yes, I do. Maybe you gave him 3 hours this week, we'll say. I'll be honest with you. In my early ministry, I was doing good to get 15 to 20 minutes of my study time, and the Lord helped me with that 15 to 20 minutes is what I'll say. But I spent time with Him, not only in just studying the Word of God, but in prayer. How much time have you spent this week in prayer today? Now, preacher, you're talking about foolish things, but listen to what Paul said again to the Corinthians people. But God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We today need to spend more time praying in our lives. Whether it's driving down the road, that's probably the most alone time that many of us have, is driving down the road. Many of us should take time when we go to bed at night, or when we're getting up in the mornings. I've heard people say that before they even set their feet out on the floor, they spend a little bit of time with the Lord in prayer. And I'm not talking about a time of, we'll say, a 5, 10, 20, 30 minute prayer. I'm talking about just taking time to talk to the Lord, maybe even be thankful or something like that. In the world's minds, that's foolishness. You want me to prove it? I'll prove it easily. How many of you heard them talk about the Muslims, and that at a certain time of the day, they roll out a little blanket on the ground and they get down and they pray? What do we say about them? That's foolishness. Are we not right? But our prayers to God, theirs is to their God. I want you to understand that today. That is to their God, but we need to be talking to our God about that time. Spending time with them. If we're going to a meal, I realize a lot of people don't like to take time to pray. Some of my preacher brethren, they was talking just lately. They go and do a ministry, and then they'll go somewhere and eat, and they said, the first one to the table says the blessing. Well, that's all right. That's fine. But the idea I want you to do, keep in mind, is letting people know that you spend time with the Lord. My granddaughters are really good about sitting there and waiting and saying, who's doing the blessing? They're good about it. And if you don't pray, they'll say, it's my turn. And they are not ones, and I'll brag on them in this way, they're not ones that basically says, Lord, bless this food. No doing the regular prayer for children's prayer. They pray. I'm talking about they pray for the lost. They pray for the others. They pray about those that are sick in a prayer of blessing the food. My goodness today, are you spending time with the Lord? If the world saw you today in a restaurant, would they recognize you as one that believed in God? It's a good question, isn't it? How about in conversation? In our conversation today, many people will say, well, we all deal with this, don't we? We get into a place where they're working, maybe we're working, and the curse words are used regularly. So much so that if you don't use them, they'll say, there's something different about you, right? Is that not what they say? Why your language is different. Now, if you'll remember when the Lord was in trial, they came to Peter, and the last thing that they asked him, he said, are you not one of his disciples? Your speech gives you away. How often does our speech give us away? How often does our speech give us away as far as being a child of God, or are we talking of worldly things? You see, to the world, it was foolishness unto them. To these men that were supposed to be of God, what Peter and John were preaching, it was foolishness to them. They thought that they were much higher and much mightier in the things of God than Peter and John. But they had the Spirit of God that was leading them and helping them in that day to stand up to them. I want you to go just for a minute here. Go back over to John, the first chapter here. You know, in the chapter of John, first chapter of John, it's got to be about John the Baptist, right? Now, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John, right? How did the world know that he was sent from God? Was it because of the way he was dressed? Not really, no. Was it because of what he ate? Not really. It was because that he was sent from God and he preached. Oh, yeah, that's a preacher, right? Yeah, he's a preacher. I'm not a preacher. That's what some of you are saying today. I'm not a preacher. You know what preaching is? It's exhorting the Word of God, just putting it out there to people. Now, John had a particular purpose, and I realize today not everybody is called for a particular purpose. Some of you today are like Brother Stewart. You're a good Sunday school teacher, like Brother Tom and Sister Heather back there and Sister Ruth that teaches the kids and the others that are out there. Some of you have the ability to sing and to praise the Lord in song. Some of you have the ability that when the Lord is working and dealing inside of you, just to shed tears. Tears? That's a witness? Oh, yeah, that's a witness, isn't it? How many times have we sat somewhere, especially in a church service, with somebody preaching the Word of God, and you see people's tears falling? And you think, well, what's wrong with them? A lot of times is what you think. But then you look at their face, and there is a portion of the Spirit of God that you can see in their face. Oh yeah, you tell on yourself. Sometimes it's with tears. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's a nod of a head. But when that you are following the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord is blessing you on the inside, all of these things are showing that you have spent time with the Lord. Not just the time that you met Him, but you're spending time with the Lord. You see, I brought up the time I met Brother Stewart the first time. If I just met him that first time, said, bye, see you later, we're gone. But we spent time together. When you spend time with Jesus, you can be like these disciples. You might say, well, I don't really want to be like the disciples was. I want to live in this world and just get by spiritually. Yeah, you'll get by, you'll get to heaven, but you're missing out on so many other things. You are. You're missing out on so many other things. I listened to a man talk the other day, and he said, when my wife gets happy in church, he says, everybody in the church house knows it. He said, not only does anybody in the house know it, he says, I think the people down on the road, they know it. She was like that man that was healed, jumping and praising the Lord. And then he told me something that really blessed me. This man was my nephew, and that was my his wife, but their daughter, he said she got to shout in the praises of God. Scared her husband to death, he said. You see, all of these things that the Spirit deals within us, it works over into others. You see, if you're studying the Word of God, somebody sees you studying, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading about Jesus here. I'm reading about Moses. I remember hearing a comedy routine, and the man said, this woman was on the plane, and she was reading her Bible, and she said, glory, hallelujah. Man said, what is it? She said, I find where that Moses brought the Israelite nation across the Red Sea, had divided it on dry ground. He said, that wasn't nothing. According to what we found out, it's only about a foot of water. Said, she kind of shrugged her shoulders. She went back and she come back a little bit. And she said, glory, hallelujah. He said, what is it now? She said, I find where the Lord drowned a whole army of people in a foot of water. The message got across, didn't it? My God's great. I want you to think about, would the people recognize you for being a child of God? Now, what I was saying a minute ago was, if we are serving and learning and spending time with the Lord, it breeds more. Remember what it said, that there was 5,000 there that believed? What if they had not? Well, they just healed the guy and went on. What up? They went ahead and preached, didn't they? What if we testify to somebody at work or at school or somewhere like that? What can happen? Well, it'd be kind of like my nephew's daughter. She started shouting. Be like that woman was, my God's great. What I'm trying to for us to understand is People need to see Jesus in us. When John came out of the wilderness to preach Jesus in that day, he was more different than anybody they had seen. He was similar to that of Elijah the prophet. But those people had not seen Elijah. But they saw John. And they heard his preaching. To repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when that he commanded them to be baptized, he said, give me fruits, meat for repentance. You know what that did? It caused the others that were around her. I don't have that. I can't say that I have that. You know, there was people that came to him in that day and they said, we want to be baptized you. We want to be like everybody else. He said, give me that fruit. Give me that fruits of repentance. Show me where you were saved. And he said, don't think just because you're Abraham's children. That's enough. You think any of them got saved? I think some of them did. Some of them did. But probably many of them still thought it was foolishness. Hey, even if it's foolishness in there, Paul said this on one occasion, I'd rather be found a fool for Christ's sake. A fool for Christ's sake? Well, Brother Fabian, that's going to be our message today. Can they tell if you've been with the Lord like they did Peter and John? Good message for us to all think about. Good thought. There's a lot out there. But the main thing is once you're saved, you follow that Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit will help you. Spend time in the book. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with Jesus is what I asked you to do today. If you're here today and you're not saved, know this. You're not ready to spend time with Jesus yet. Seek the Lord now before it's too late. These altars are always open while we stand and sing.
Number 205.